Before we begin, I would like to give a shout out to our patrons over at patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. None of the production for this podcast would be possible without them, especially Jen A, Jesus Vicente V, Adri, who, by the way, I've been like mispronouncing your name for like the last few months, and I apologize deeply again, Adri, Cassandra G, Linda Marie, Saul Alexander Z, Abigail D, Iris E, and Kimberly B, as well as Maria. If you want to support the basic upkeep of this podcast and support the work that goes into it, feel free to, again, support us over on patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. All right, let's start the show.
We'll do it live. We'll do it live! Fuck it! Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! Fucking thing sucks!
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Bitter Brown Femmes. I am one of your hosts, Ruben.
And I'm Cassandra.
And we're here to talk on the last days of Pride season to really center the people that matter. Allies.
Yes, this is a whole episode devoted to the people that threw the first brick at Stonewall, to the people that have been on the front lines fighting for our rights, yeah. And that is allies. And I feel like we should just take a time to hold space for them and appreciate them for all that they've done for gay liberation. Yeah. To be honest.
Yeah, I would not be liberated were it not for some cisgender hetero.
So yeah. Thank you. Thanks, for your y'all. Service.
Yeah. So have you
before we get into all that though, let's catch up because we haven't recorded in such a long time, and I know we say that every time we record, but I feel like this time it really has been a long time.
The fucking funny thing is that we were supposed to become a real podcast. And then
talk
to me for 2 fucking months, bitch.
We jinxed ourselves. We should have never said that.
Nope.
Well, no, we kind of. Okay. Whatever. Whatevs.
How have you been?
Whatevs. It's been like always. I feel like I'm always going to keep saying this until my Saturn return is over because like my life is just like no. And I think in one of our episodes I had told you that I got my cards read on New Year's Eve. And they were like, no. Like, this year is not your year. But I was still in my head kind of hoping like she was being like over dramatic or something. Yeah. But no. But no, it hasn't. And I obviously that's just part of, you know, your Saturn return. So I'm still alive. I'm still out here. Not thriving, but I'm still here learning lessons from the universe. So yeah, I don't even remember when was the last time we recorded, like June? No. May?
Late April, and the episode April. Was released in mid-May.
Oh my god, it was. Oh my god. Wow. Well, we took a break because we need breaks sometimes. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. We're all right. Yeah. We're getting back into the groove of things. I feel like for me, I don't know. Also in the summer for me, it's just kind of like a hot mess because my life, you know, when it's not summer, when Luca's in school, I'm like, this is my... It's like a routine that I have, and then during summer, it's like a mess, especially because I lost my job after we recorded. Or I mentioned
that.
No, I mentioned that, no, on our last episode that I lost my job, but I was happy. Now I'm not happy. I was happy right when it happened, but now I'm like, oh my god. So I'm like stressing about that. Yeah. It was fun for like a few, like 3 weeks or so. But now I'm like, you know, okay, someone hire me, please.
Yeah.
What have you been doing?
This season since May, I've been lecturing. I've been putting out a lot of like YouTube content and like other podcast content. Yeah, I've been busy. This is like this yesterday and today. No, wait, I lectured yesterday. Today is like the first time that I was like, okay, I mean, I have one thing to do. But I'm not even sure I'm going to finish it. I'm, like, applying for a fellowship. But other than that, I'm, like, finally, like, I get to take a breather. And so just been busy creating and trying to not be broke this summer. Because I was real broke last summer. I was like, you can't be broke this summer like you were last summer. Oh my God, I was on like my last penny last summer for a long time. Yeah, so this summer has been about, these past few weeks have been about avoiding that fate again. Yeah.
That's good. I'm very happy. We're in Cancer season, so we skipped Gemini season. Gemini season.
Justice for me. Fuck Geminis. Oh my God. You know, Amber Khan keeps fucking warning me about them Geminis and them Tauruses.
But I trust her.
Oh my God, girl. What else? You know what else I've been up to? Avoiding exes. Ooh, girl. Yeah.
I'm not even gonna drag you right now because it's like not even your, it's like a Gemini X, which is like the worst. Oh my God, I don't know.
They are the worst.
You know what? One of my best friends is a Gemini, and it's weird because she has all the Cancer energy though, and so I forget that she's a Gemini.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh shit! But then I see what she wears. I'm like, oh okay, bitch, you're a fucking Gemini. but no, I feel like the few Geminis that I know, which I don't know many, I feel like they're okay. Like I like them. So I'm not on the Gemini hate train. The air sign that I hate the most is Libra. Sorry.
I have a lot of Gemini friends. Like I do, but it doesn't mean that I'm going to date a Gemini.
Oh no. I don't think I would date a Gemini.
Yeah. This is like a Gemini bigotry zone.
like y'all are cool. But I don't know, dating you though, I don't know about that. Sorry.
Yeah, no. I did this thing where I compared like my chart with my ex's Gemini chart, and it was basically, it like read us to filth. It was like the Gemini's gonna cheat and blah blah blah, like straight up. And I'm like, fuck, I should have been into astrology a few years ago.
Yeah, but we're in Cancer season, and I've been feeling so fucking emo. Like, I always feel emo, but, like, more than usual. Like, I think the first day of Cancer, I was just, like, in my feelings. Yeah, so I've been going to dad bars to the karaoke every Saturday. and, like, listening to The Used a lot, and just, like, really in my feelings. And it's so dramatic, I feel like, oh my God. But I love Cancer season. Specifically in El Paso, it's like during Cancer season, it always rains. So summer in the rain and like thunderstorms in the summer, like my favorite thing. So yeah.
I bought weed for the first time this Cancer season. That was bizarre.
Okay. That's exciting.
No, I remembered that I don't like weed. Oh my God, I had the worst trip. And I'm like, so now I just have this weed that I'm never going to smoke.
Oh my God.
I'm gonna go to a party one day and just be like, y'all kids want weed or something.
Just give it to an ally.
Yeah, allies matter.
Yes. so on our last episode, okay, it's kind of like, we had two episodes, but not, it's kind of confusing because the last episode was titled White Women Part 1 because we were supposed to do like a follow-up to that. Right, but then our follow-up was actually just an interview that we put out, and so we didn't want to name that interview White Women Part 2 because then that's not what it was about at all. So there's no part 2, so I don't know if that was confusing for y'all the way I said it too, but there's no part 2 to that. The part 2 was the interview, so apologies, because I know some people commented like, oh, I can't wait for part 2. Like, we're gonna continue
dragging. But the name of the last episode was called No Part 2, so.
Yeah, if you caught that. but thank you if you checked out our last two episodes. I just wanted to do a quick follow-up, though, to the white women specifically, because I know we talked about a few of them, and, you know, how they're messy and racist and dramatic, etc., but right after we actually put that out, they were showing their ass, like, again, and I was dying because I was like, oh my God, we do need a part 2. But one of the things was, and I don't know, if you were on Twitter, you definitely saw this conversation happening. So there was, like, a random person. I don't even know why they felt compelled to tweet this. It was, like, a poll on Twitter by someone named Connor. Thank you, Connor, for starting this conversation. And they were like, do you wash your legs when you take a shower? 81% said yes, and 19% said no. So, I mean, overall, as a society, like 81% said yes, so that's good. But the 19%, and I feel like this is higher. This is just a screenshot that I have of that poll. Oh yeah, because this was right when you posted it. So anyway, so the 19%, of course, we all know who that 19% is. If you don't know, they're white. And then it was bad enough that they put no on that poll, but it was like anonymous, you know, but they felt compelled to like share their dirtiness with everybody in it and turn into this whole conversation of like white people not even their legs, but just going like 3 days without shower. Like they were just like very open about this, especially white women. It was weird. Not surprising, but I was like, what are you doing?
Some of them were even like, especially when I shave my legs,
Oh
I
my.
don't wash them because that already cleans them. And I'm like, what?
So just to read one of the tweets, because these tweets were so messy, was like one white girl said, washing your legs every day seems really excessive to me. How are they getting dirty? I don't even go outside.
Oh.
And someone else said, I don't like use soap on my whole body when I shower, and I don't think I'm gross. I pretty much just wash my face and my armpits with soap, and I shower like once or twice a week. So this particular person got dragged because, I mean, they were just saying all of that, and then as they were getting like I guess backlash, they were like, I want to acknowledge that as a middle class cis white woman, I have a lot of privilege to not worry as much about stuff like body hair, but I personally would like to live in a world where all people cannot be considered gross for these reasons.
Dirty people rights.
Yeah, like making it a fucking, I don't even know, like a class issue. I don't even know what they were
No,
saying.
at some point somebody was like, it's classes that you're making fun of people
Oh.
that don't wash their legs. Oh, and then somebody was like, it's ableist. And then one of the creators of like Ramp Up the Vote, she's like this black disabled girl. She's like, I can't walk, bitch, and I still wash my legs.
It's just like, and then one more, because we're not going to read all of these because it's a lot. But one of them, I think the next day, or they were like, cyber bullied into washing my legs. Like they were really on there saying people were cyber bullying them. Like,
Okay, bullying
and
works, I guess. We need to bring it back.
oh my God. And then just today that we're recording, there's like some fucking tweets going around of someone that said on Twitter also, my wife and I are currently arguing if swimming counts as a bath. I'm not sure who raised her, but it does. End of story. And then there's like, I can't even read all of them. There's like so many comments of white people saying that during the summer, their kids don't take baths, they just go swimming. Someone said, definitely a bath. If chlorine can clean a toilet, it can clean a kid.
What the
We
fuck?
call those summer baths. So I'm not going to read all of them. Like I said, there's a lot. And I just, why? And like the thing of like, if we want to get real political about it, the thing is
Real
like
political.
real political about it, because that's what we do here, is like this racist stereotype that like black and brown people like don't shower, that we smell, or like the whole like quote unquote dirty Mexican. You know what I mean? Like those stereotypes, but they're never really applied to white people when they're out here proudly saying that they don't fucking shower correctly. And every time I shower now, because I always do my legs first. Not that you want to get to know that, but I do. I go from the bottom up, you know?
Really?
Yeah, like a true power gay. And
I go from the top to the bottom.
well, I go from the whatever. Okay, it doesn't matter as long as you know,
Long
wash every part of
shower.
your body. But every time I wash my legs, like I cannot help but think of like white people now. It's like the worst thing ever. I'm like, wow, these bitches really aren't doing this. Like they're just not. I don't understand. But okay, that was just a thing that they did. But anyway. Shortly after that whole situation, or before, I can't tell, there was an abortion ban, I guess we want to call it, in Alabama.
It's still not in effect. It begins next year.
Yeah, it's still not in effect, but I know a lot of people obviously were outraged about it, rightfully so. So our great white sister and ally, Alyssa Milano, tweeted for us women to go on a sex strike, to really just show everyone, I guess, or like, to who are we showing again? The people that made the law, I guess, or men, I guess, because we all fuck men. Anyway, for us to show them, you know, that we mean business. She called for a sex strike, and a lot of women, are they still on a sex strike? Do you know?
I forgot what they call it. I was just angry that people still think that, like, a sex strike is, like, the way to go. Because it assumes a lot of things. Not only that all women fuck men, but it also assumes that, like, women don't like to have sex. Mm-hmm. Like, that it's, like, a chore for them. Yeah.
Yes. And so, this was the initial tweet that Alyssa Milano tweeted about the sex strike. Our reproductive rights are being erased. Until women have legal control over our own bodies, we just cannot risk pregnancy. Join me by not having sex until we get our bodily autonomy back. I'm calling for a sex strike. Pass it on. And oh my god. And so, yes, of course, a sex strike it's like this whole idea also that is particularly like white feminists, but also like, I guess, TERFs, I would say, have like this, that our only value is also just like sex. Like, how do I explain that? As women is like our ability to provide this for men, right? Like, it's still centering like,
it's like bi-essentialist.
Yes, thank you for that. And so it's like these tired conversations with these fucking feminists. And so, of course, there were people, white feminists, that were supporting her and saying they were going to go on a sex strike. And then, of course, there was people that were replying to her and telling her all of these things that we're talking about, like the reasons why it's wrong, the reasons why it's just fucking whack altogether, right? But she was not responding to that. She was not hearing it. And then a few days after that, there was a KKK rally in Ohio, apparently. And so she retweeted it, and she's like, I don't recognize my country anymore. And I hate when this fucking white people say this, because I'm just like, really? You don't recognize it anymore? Like, that must be fucking nice, because this is the same fucking, like, country that we all grew up in and have to live in and survive in. And so I feel like when they tweet that, they really think they're being like super like deep and shit, but it's not.
But it just proves how disconnected they are from actually like marginalized people. Like, this bigotry is still existent everywhere. I mean, if you're not recognizing people's struggles, like, you're just not listening. Like, if you still think that all this shit is new and it happened because of Trump, like, you have just been hella fucking privileged.
Oh my god, it reminds me of that fucking photo I always see where it's like this like old white lady at a rally, and she's like, I've never marched for anything in my life or some shit. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like,
yeah. Those old people?
Huh?
Those old people who are like, I have never marched, blah, blah.
Yeah,
and
like,
it's like, bitch, then where have you been?
Yeah, it's like 79 years, and this is the first time I show up, and people share it. Like, it's like, oh, this is how bad our country's gotten, and like praising this person. I'm like, yo, yeah, like, you lived during the civil rights, and this is the first time you fucking show up to a protest? Like,
yeah.
What the fuck? But it's just like that other one we always bring up, the if Hillary won, we would be at brunch or some shit. I'm like, yeah, that's the fucking problem. Like,
yeah,
it's so like,
Hillary's brunching right now, watching all these Democratic national debates happening because she's going through it.
Oh my god,
she's in her little forest cabin, just like drinking like Andre's champagne and mixing it with Tampico.
Oh my god. Did you watch the debates? I mean, there was two. There was like a part one and a part two, kind of just
I watched the part one, and then the part two, I forgot it was happening, and I was supposed to get ready for a show, so I watched it, and I was, like, pre-drinking.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, the second one, I felt like the first, because I was also wondering, like, I wonder how they, I don't even know how they split them up, or how they decided.
Supposedly randomly. Randomly.
Because
like,
it felt very intentional.
It did, because it felt like night two was the folks, it had, like, the big hitters, like, that folks expect, like, run the front runners, right? Like, the Joe Biden dude, and Kamala Harris, and Cory Booker, and...
No, Cory Booker was the first.
Was he?
Yeah, Bernie was the second.
Oh, Bernie. Yeah, Bernie, and then
I feel like they had to do the, like, three popular ones, and then the rest that we're not familiar with, because that's what it felt like in the first one, too.
Who was the popular one in the first one? It was Cory Booker.
Warren and O'Rourke. I mean, they're not, like...
They're not... And then, yeah, the day two, you got Kamala, you got Biden, you got Buttigieg, you got Bernie Sanders.
Okay, so then
Bernie Sanchez.
I guess for me, I was more interested in the first one than the second one, but I guess maybe to everyone, they were like the mainstream Democrats, yeah. I guess you would say, yeah. But yes, I love election season because of the memes. And I hate election season. I hate everything about it. But the only good thing that comes out of it is, like, the memes, like, of people. Like, it's just so funny. That's funny. So, like, on the first night, for example, O'Rourke was speaking Spanish. And
out of nowhere,
just to clarify, he actually does speak Spanish. That's not the first time he speaks Spanish. He speaks Spanish, like, a lot in, like, town halls and, like, in interviews and in public. Like, he didn't just learn it. Not that I'm like trying to be, like, defending him and shit. So it's not okay. Like a new thing.
You have to defend your El Paso hero.
I know. But I am saying that it's not a new thing, but every time he does it, it's still, like,
cringe.
Yeah, like, but I love that everyone got to hear him speak Spanish on a national stage, because everyone was making fun of him afterwards, and it was, like, the best. I thought it was funny, and I'm going to continue thinking it's funny, especially because, I've mentioned in our previous episodes, and how I always mention online, like, he has done nothing for the Latinx community, for immigrant communities, even though, like, that's what he runs his platform on, even though he's like, I'm from a border town, and, like, it's like, okay, but you screwed over our community, so, no, I don't care if he speaks Spanish, so, I don't give a fuck about him, because a lot of people, you know, they were like, oh my god, you know what I saw a lot? People were trying to make it about them, like, they were like, this is why I don't speak Spanish,
Latinx,
and I'm like, girl, no one was talking about you, like, yeah, we're talking about a cis white rich man who's running for fucking president.
Yeah, like, and pandering. Not a white Latino, not like,
yeah,
a white, not even like a white Spaniard, like a white,
not like Cruz or anything.
No.
Yeah, it's like
a white TM trademark.
But you can tell they all felt attacked, or they just wanted to defend him in some way. Yeah. But I saw that a lot, and I'm like, no one was even talking about you.
Like, oh yeah, all the Beto gang came at me because I had a viral tweet. Where I was like, because the reason he started speaking Spanish was to avoid a question.
He didn't even answer the question. Didn't answer it.
The moderator asked him, like, okay, if you become president, do you think it's fair to tax people who make more than, like, $10 million, I think they said. And he didn't answer. He couldn't say, yes, I'm going to tax the rich. So he started speaking his gringo Spanish to, like, distract from it. And so somebody, like... quoted me, and they were quoting me. They're like, you making fun of gringo Spanish really hurts me as a non-Spanish speaking Latinx person. And I'm like, bitch, like, you cannot be comparing, like, this struggle of, like, second, third generation, like, Latinxes to this white man. Like, please have some self-respect.
Why are you including yourself in this? Like, yeah. Respect yourself. no, yeah, and what else? I think that was, like, the main thing for the first debate was the O'Rourke Spanish thing. There was people that I've never seen in my life on that stage. There was, like, a short white woman. I don't know her name. There was, like, four white guys. Don't know their names. Then we go to debate two, and that's where we have, like you said, Biden and Bernie and Kamala Harris, and also a few other white men I've never seen in my life, and the Bank of America gay guy.
Bank of America gay guy?
Yes. You didn't see that tweet?
Wait,
that
was, like, he works for Bank of America?
No. There was a tweet that was like, I can't even say his last name. Peter.
It's not a real last name.
Whatever. Peter
I
Booty.
I think it's technically like Booty Gay Edge. Booty. Boo. I don't know, girl. Boot Edge.
Peter Booty, whatever, is like.
I'm just like, listen, if white people are not stumbling over this like man's like last name, then you are don't have an excuse when you stumble over like ethnic names, because this is some weird ass white man name.
Yes, so. And I can't even say it, but him, because someone said him, Pete, Booty is tug. Like if the Bank of America Pride float was a person. And I feel and that's why I said the Make of America, he's like representing the white cis gays, you know, out there who think it's a win for all of us, apparently. Because if you critique him, all the white gays are like on you on Twitter. And
they get defensive about their daddy booty gig. I saw him on the cover of Out magazine and it was like, is this what our ancestors at Stonewall fought for? And I'm like, no. Our ancestors in Stonewall did not fight for a white cis gay man to like become president. Like it was
that
an
the headline?
Yeah, that was like the cover. It was the cover.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't read the article. I haven't gotten to it. And maybe it's like maybe they answer the question in a similar fashion that I'm about to answer. But like it isn't. Like they fought against police because they recognize that the state is the enemy, like to queer and trans liberation. Like so it's ridiculous. Yeah, but you were saying you were moving on from the gay man?
Yes. Our personal fave, Marianne Williamson, sorry.
Oh, she's also
She's also a new person that I didn't know existed until Thursday night. But then I think she got the most memes. I think she was the meme queen from the second debate, because when they asked her, it was like the closing message, right? And she just went on like a love speech toward like some Pisces Aquarius shit. Kind of, like it was just like
she was like, Trump, you are bringing hate into politics. I'm gonna bring love, and I'm gonna defeat you at the stage.
And she's like, love will win, but she was super serious about it. and then people were just like, who is this person? I'm like, I don't know, tweeting about like her energy because she's like one of those white feminists that have like dreadlocks and they're like, I'm at peace with the universe, you know? But I was telling Ruben that I found one of her old tweets that I'm going to read to you all, because this is mine and Ruben's like motto from now on, or maybe like our tagline. She tweeted this last year. When they go low, go to a higher frequency where they cannot touch you. So that's what we're doing. When they go low, we're going to a higher frequency where we cannot be touched. So thank you, Marianne Williamson. I have no idea who you really are, but I'm excited to see you in another debate.
I think I love her as like a SNL, like for her potential as an SNL parody, and not so much about the person and politician that she is, because like she's not even a politician. Like
Is she an author? Or no, there was one person that said they were an author. There's so many people running. It's kind of like, I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, I don't know. I guess it's just like anyone can run at this point, I guess. A lot of white men, like any white man out there apparently was like, hey, let me run for president.
Yeah, I didn't recognize like half of those dudes. I was like, this is the first time I've ever seen your face in my life.
Yeah, it's wild, right? And FYI, we're going to be talking about the elections and we're going to be making jokes, etc. So we are not endorsing anybody, okay? Because, like, I don't want y'all to think we're, like, really fucking with our friend Marianne Williamson or anything like that. Because one of you acted like I was going to vote for Cruz. So, no, we are not.
Oh, my God. I still can't believe that somebody thought that.
So, no, we're not endorsing anyone and we're not, like, you know. We're not doing that. We're just talking about the debates and we're going to keep talking about the election season.
And also, like, if we make fun of the debates and, like, the politicians, like, it also comes up from a place of, like, pointing out how ridiculous, like, the spectacle of, like, the electoral politics is, right? Primarily for people whose only, like, political engagement is electoral politics. It's like, at the end of the day, like, folks are still going to have to fight whoever the fuck enters the White House. So I think that there needs to be a focus on, like, social civic engagement beyond, like, this presidential shit. And for a lot of us, like, we've known this for a while, and so to just see everybody, like, all of a sudden become politicized around this time, it's just fucking laughable.
Yeah, and it's like you mentioned, like, this is the only, like, it's just like the cycle where it's like election season's here, and it's all of, like, everyone's activism, right? Like, being an activist right now, and the activism really is just like getting people to vote, and then, like, attacking people online if we critique like these politicians. And usually it's like white. I see it a lot in general, because I get a lot of Chicanismo during the election season. Like, people will, you know, like with the Ted Cruz thing, like, accuse me of, because I don't vote, or I don't encourage people to vote, and it's my fault, and that whole narrative. But it's particularly, like, problematic to me when it's white people, like, telling people of color, like, black people, like, queer people, like, straight people telling queer people, for example, like, shit about voting. Right? Like, they're like, how dare you not vote for this person or this person, or how dare you critique this person or that person? But they'll, like, turn around and say they're here for our marginalized communities, but they won't let us have, like, an opinion, or they won't let us, like, speak on and critique these politicians, right? And, like, that's what's most annoying to me. And it's like, you're, like, every time I tweet about O'Rourke, for example, or, like, every time people tweet about O'Rourke that are not from El Paso, it's weird. I always come across tweets where people are defending O'Rourke, and they're like, you don't even live in El Paso, or, like, they always bring up El Paso somehow, because they think,
yeah,
oh, well, El Paso's a border town, El Paso's, like, a Latinx city, so if O'Rourke is from there and, like, people support him, then obviously he's, like, a good person. And I always, like, yeah, I always jump on it, and I'm like, I'm from El Paso, actually, you know, because, and sometimes it's even people from El Paso, because they're so disconnected from our community as well, like, they're only here for, like, the electoral shit, and so they don't really see how O'Rourke did all of these things in our own community, right? And it's, like, going back to the Spanish thing, like, parading around that you speak Spanish or that you're from a border town, but when it comes down to it, like, what have you done for us? Because all you did was, like, try to destroy communities. And that's the same with, like, de Blasio, right? Who's is he the mayor of New York, or was?
Of New York,
and he has a black wife, he has black children, and he kept kind of, I think at one point he said, the question was, what makes you different, I think, from the candidates up here? And he said that he was raising a black son. And it's like, in New York, where it's like police brutality and a lot of state violence against black people, but you're going to use your black child, right, to kind of say, and it's weird to say because it's your child, you know, like to say that you're an ally. But it's like just another example of, like, just because you're married to a person of color, a black person, doesn't mean that you don't benefit from whiteness, or that you don't also perpetuate white supremacy and anti-blackness, right?
Yeah.
And, like, all of the candidates up there, right, like, they all have, like, awful track records, and, like, all of a sudden, obviously right now they're like, I support you, I support this community, like, but, like, when it's time to show the fuck up, you actually don't show up, or you actually hurt our communities, but you want us to vote for you. And this is the thing about, like, allies. It's not just about politicians, because we know with politicians, it's like, obviously they want us to vote for them, so they're going to say whatever they need to say to get us to vote for them, especially marginalized communities. But it's like everyday people. And I wanted to talk about allies specifically during Pride Month, because it is still Pride Month. When I think of the word ally, I always kind of see it attributed to the LGBTQ community, right? I know, like, everyone kind of uses it for different communities, but for some reason I feel like that word's, like, just really attached to the LGBTQ community, and I feel like, I don't know, like, it's just, it weirds me out. And I don't even know if weirds me out is, like, the correct phrase, but it's just fucking wild to me that people that are quote-unquote allies to queer folks, like, really take up so much space and, like, center themselves and always try to insert themselves into our spaces or discussions and even into the acronym. Because I had posted, there was, like, this image floating around, and it's not the first time I see it, but recently on Twitter, and it was, like, you know, what each of the letters stands for, like, L is for lesbian, you know, so on and so forth, and the A was literally, like, ally, And it's not, like I said, it's not the first time that I see it, but it just really annoyed me, especially going around during Pride Month. And I'm like, how bold are you to think that you that there's like a space for you in the community, right? And so I posted about it, and I got a lot backlash from other queer folks, but also from like actual straight cis folks who were like, oh, well, then what? So you don't want us then? So you don't want us to support you? Oh, so kind of, you know, where they get mad when it's like, oh, I thought that you were here for us, though, because if you were here for us, then you would like take a step back and reflect on what we're saying versus like attacking like other queer people that are telling you to like, you know, to reflect on your bullshit. And it's just really, I don't know.
It's ridiculous that we still have to remind you that you shouldn't be centered in things. Right, that the people that you're being quote unquote supposedly an ally to, like, those are the people that should be centered and stuff. And so it's really mind boggling to me that like allies get defensive about being told that when that should come as like allyship 101.
Yeah, it's a very basic thing. And when I had posted that, it was funny because I had said, like, I had added Taylor Swift because her new video had just come out. It wasn't in response to Taylor Swift, and I stated that. I'm sure people, a lot of her fans also were attacking me, of course. It wasn't a response to Taylor Swift, but it was just like an example because she obviously does that and did that in her last most recent video. But it's just like everybody that I see doing it year round. But I think, I don't know, just like with Pride, it really like fucking upsets me on top of all like the rainbow capitalism, you know? And so it's like when it's time to actually put your body on the line, or when we actually need, or, you know, when a trans person is saying like, I need help with bills or with these expenses, like, you know what I mean? And it's like, you have to do something else out of just like calling yourself an ally and changing your profile for Pride Month, you know, like wearing a pin that says ally to me, like, does nothing. And the only comment that I got that was a little like concrete, I guess, was from another queer person that was like, you know, for queer folks that are in small towns or like not in big cities, like it is kind of helpful to see people identify as allies, or like, because then they feel like they can, you know, talk to them or be safe with them, right? And I kind of took a step back and I was like, okay, like I see that, right? Like I'm not from a small town, but it's also like, again, just because someone changes their profile, for example, and you're like, oh, they're an ally, it's like, at the end, like, if it comes down to it, are you actually going to defend this person? Are you actually going to, like I said, put your body on the line if they're being attacked? Or like, are you calling out your family members and like other people for saying homophobic things? Because it's not just saying like, I support candidates that are LGBTQ friendly. It's like, it's a lot more than that. And I feel like as an ally, also, like, you should do the work yourself to figure these things out. Because there was people in that same post that were like, well, educate me on what this means. Or, like, what does... someone literally was like, what does, like, LGBTQ stand for? And I was like, not to be rude, but kind of rude, it's 2019. Like, first of all, you know what I mean? Like, if you don't know what the fuck LGBTQIA stands for, like, first of all, you should, but if you don't, like, Google it. Like, why are you expecting, like, queer folks to, like, educate you when we talk about this all the time, right? And even if I tell you to Google it, then all of a sudden, also, like, I'm an angry, like, queer person who, like, hates allies or hate, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, like I said with my meme, the first day of Pride, I made a meme that said, y'all don't have straight month Pride because you're ugly. And I stand by that. But also, even to that fucking meme, like, there was quote-unquote allies that were, they reported my post, and it got taken down from Instagram, and DMing me about how I should love every, like, just that whole bullshit. Like, they're the same people that, again, are, like, allies, but, like, you're oppressed because I called you ugly. Like, what are you doing? And it's, like, I think this, I don't know if to call it a stereotype, but I guess it is kind of like a stereotype of like the happy-go-lucky, like, gay person that just like wants you to love them and accept them and like always has a rainbow flag with them, right? Like, that's like this magical, like, queer happy person that's like nonviolent. I feel like that's like what people think of when they think of gay people collectively and like pride and oh, they're so happy and they're so accepting. And it's like, no, bitch, like we're here fighting for our fucking lives and we're angry and we're hurt and we're like trying to survive and we're not like, it's just.
Yeah, but it's because that queer and that trans person that's angry, that's not palatable to folks. You know, they want the victim. They want the helpless folks that desperately need allies because, you know, that's another benevolent form of dehumanization, right? And that way, when we want actual radical change that'll actually make a lasting impact on our lives, like, they can ignore it because we are too angry, right? That's why it's easy to lift up a harmless gay than like a radical like Jenna said, right? Jenna said Gutierrez, because then that would have to really challenge your views on like immigration, on like racism and things like that. But I feel like the sanitized model of like this queer person that a lot of folks are like, a lot of companies are rushing to show allyship to, like, because that's what's being pushed nowadays. Like, that's why I have a lot of hesitance with, like, celebrating Pride. I mean, that's why I didn't even go to a parade this year. And this year felt a lot worse for me than usual, like, Pride. Like, usually we know that, like, the bank is going to show up or whatever and all that. But this year it just felt like it was, like, on steroids or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I think for Pride for me, well, like, in El Paso, it's not, like, that big, like, in big cities, first of all.
There's no El Paso
Pride? Yeah, there's an El Paso Pride. It's not, like, this huge thing, but there is, like, there is a Pride here. Like, there's a parade, and then there's, like, events for a week. They're very, like, whack events, but there are events. There are events, and then there's, like, a big festival. You know what I mean? Like, it is a thing. It's not, like, huge or, like, you know, that's what I mean. But even here, like, I tried to go this year. I got there late because my alarm didn't go off, but just like seeing videos from it, like there's only a few gay bars here, and one of them, which is like a gay bar called The Briar, their truck that they had in the parade, they had a Blue Lives Matter fucking flag on it.
No,
they didn't even have a rainbow flag. They had the U.S. flag. What? And the cop flag, and a lot of people were like, whose fucking truck is that? And then we found out it was, like, this bar, right? The Briar. And so people, like, called it out, but it's, like, that's not, you know what I mean? Like, it's, like, why was it there to begin with? And obviously, I don't know the people that organize a Pride here. Like, I'm sure it's, like, the P flag or, like, those kind of, like, gay orgs, right? But it's like a very minimal thing. If you're over here saying that it's like 50 years of Stonewall and you got a fucking Blue Lives Matter, like you allowed that, you know what I mean? It's like, what the fuck is your, like, you're like, I don't know, I think.
Like, what part of the assignment did you not understand? Like, that Stonewall was an anti-cop,
exactly.
Like, riot. Like, what part, how does that and this, like, anti-black, racist, Blue Lives Matter flag, how do those things mesh? And they don't. Absolutely. And if you are someone who doesn't understand why Blue Lives Matter is why it's racist or whatever, it's because that flag came as a response to the Black Lives Matter movement as a way to silence black folks who were protesting the police extrajudicial killings of black people and police violence in general.
Exactly. And I think in the last few years, people have really, I guess, I don't want to say found out about, but kind of like putting Marsha and Sylvia like kind of acknowledging their work and acknowledging the Stonewall, you know what I mean, like trans women. But it's like, that is obviously doesn't mean anything when you're out here with the Blue Lives Matter flag, but also when you're like not showing up for trans women, right? Because our Pride was on Saturday, and then the following, like a few days later, that Tuesday, there was an action here in El Paso, a lot of, like, national, or not, yeah, I guess, like, orgs from, like, different states came to do an action here at the detention, one of the detention centers, to, in response to, like, not just trans migrant women being held and also being killed in, like, detention by ICE, but also, like, to black trans women in general, right? So it was, like, an emphasis on, like, on Black and Brown trans women, and no, like, there was hardly any people that showed up. And, like, that's not an unusual thing for El Paso, because it's hard to get people, like, to show up to anything, really. That's not a mainstream thing. But I for sure was like, there has to be, like, queer folks, like, from Pride that went to Pride that would come, you know, to this action. And there was, like, none, really. And so that was not surprising, because people, again, don't show up for, like, trans women. But then you want to, like, talk about, like, that you understand, like, the role that they had at Stonewall, when you really don't. Like, I feel like people are just saying it now, like, throwing those names out there just to say that they know the history, but they don't, or they don't care, right? I think today there was a thread on Twitter about a Black trans woman in New York at the Stonewall Inn who wanted to speak about trans women, Black trans women, and they were threatening to call the cops on her. Like, the queer people there were threatening to call the cops on a Black trans woman at the Stonewall Inn today in 2019. Like, it's not fucking funny. It's like, infuriating and hypocritical. But this is also, like, what we're talking about, being allies. Because it's not just, like, you know, cishet folks being allies to us. It's, like, within the LGBTQ community, right? Are we showing up for trans people? Are we showing up for trans Black women? Like, or are we just kind of using their image and fake honoring them and their legacies, but we're okay with calling the fucking cops on them because they're ruining Pride?
Yeah. I remember, to go on this note, it's like it was the third anniversary of Pulse this year, and I'm just like, I remember how mad I was and sad and angry. I just had a lot of emotions when it happened originally. And one of the big things that made me angry was the fact that, like, the LGBT publications were not covering the fact that these were Latinx, mostly Latinx LGBT folks who were affected, and queer and trans people of color in general. And on this anniversary of Pulse, I'm, like, looking at, like, white people, even white queers, like, mourn, and I'm like, what are you mourning? Like, you're part of the reason this happened. You're, like, part of the segregation within LGBT spaces is why all these queer and trans people of color were, like, sequestered over to this Latin night in Orlando, right? And why it was so easy for someone with a gun to come in and hurt so many of us in a space, right? And so, like, if folks want to be allies, quote unquote, and, like, really show up for folks, that they have to start questioning, like, and having active plans to combat racism within their own spaces and to combat queer and transphobia, like, queerphobia, transphobia, like, these acts of showmanship of, like, oh, here, I'm an ally, or, like, here, I mourn with you on this day. Like, what is that? Means nothing if you're not doing something to help change the material conditions of queer and trans people, specifically of color, all year round, right? So, allyship without action, continuous action, is meaningless. Is absolutely meaningless.
Yes, and speaking on, like I said, it was Pride Month, so all of this, like, ally shit, you know, came to me an annoyance. But I also wanted to not, like I said, not, it's not just about the LGBTQ community. It's also, like, one thing that I really wanted to bring up is this very fucking graphic photo of that's being shared widely, not just, like, even in the US, like, in Mexico, and also, like, in other countries, apparently, of a family, a father and his daughter. His name was Oscar Alberto Martinez Ramirez, and his 2-year-old child was named Valeria. And it's just, like, a very graphic photo of their deaths, right? Trying to cross into the U.S. And I don't really want to go into the details of that, because, quite frankly, it's ugly. But also, the details don't really matter. All I know is, like, what, you know what I mean? That this is just what has happened, but what we're seeing even more right now with, like, Trump and the, you know, the things that he's trying to take away from us, the asylum process, where people are being held in Mexico for months instead of like allowing them to seek asylum here and get processed here like they're supposed to be. They've been like holding them at in Mexico, which is not only dangerous for a lot of Central Americans, but it's also like I can like desperation, right? Of like having to be in another place while you're waiting to be processed. And so a lot of families and a lot of people don't want to wait to go through that. Like they don't have the means to be in Mexico. It's dangerous for them to be in Mexico, right? And so they try to cross the only way that they, these dangerous routes. And it's like, it's an ugly thing that again is not new, but we're seeing a lot of. And so this photo that was shared was just fucking graphic and ugly. And when I started seeing everyone sharing it like online, I was like, is this really happening? Like people don't see like what is wrong with sharing this fucking photo. Like people really were like, retweet, you know, like I with so, like not that a trigger warning is going to make it better, but even without a like with no caption at all, people were just sharing it. And I tweeted about it. And then like, I think a lot of people started talking about why it's wrong to share that, right? But it's like, why are, like, even the reasons that people gave, because I got a lot of, there, like, when I made the initial post about, like, why are people sharing this photo, and I shared a photo of the family, right, as fucking human beings, as, like, as they were, it got a lot of attention, I would say. So there was a lot of comments that I couldn't keep up with, but a lot of people were like telling me, like they always do when we tell people not to share these graphic, violent photos, they're like, people need to see it. Like people need to see this to wake up. People need to see what's happening. And like any, everything that you can think of, like any justification and excuse, and for them to like loudly proclaim, like, I have the right to share this pretty much. And it's like, why do you think you have the right to share that? Like, especially as a, because like it's like you're so removed from that you're able to disconnect yourself from that, right? Because like you don't think about how this is, it's, I think it's like a graphic photo for anybody, but especially people who are like refugees, people who are like undocumented, who have been there, right? Who have like come to the US or like anywhere, and you're just like traumatizing everybody and like saying, oh, this is because I care. Because I was telling you earlier, someone that I was arguing with, this white woman, had it as her fucking profile picture. Like, as her profile picture. And then another woman that I was arguing with had it as her cover photo. And even when I was, like, saying why it's wrong and dehumanizing and just fucked up and, like, it's just really upsetting. Like, when is the last time that we saw white bodies being, like, shared like that, right? And obviously, like, white people aren't, you know, in these positions. White people aren't, like, being killed by state violence, because we see that a lot when Black men and women, like, get killed, right? They make, like, the front news, and it's, like, okay because they're Black. And we never see, like, these, like, people have respect for white people who have died, especially violent deaths, right? Like, I remember, and I had mentioned, like, back in, I think, 2015, there was, like, two journalists that got killed on air, and I remember, like, all the news stations specifically stating that they were not going to run that video because, you know, out of respect for their families, as they should, right? But it's, like, where is that respect for, like, Black and brown people? And during, like, the age of mass shootings, I also brought up, like, we've, you know, I know it's not just, like, white students and, like, white people being killed in, like, theaters and, like, schools, but if it were just, like, Black and brown folks, oh, I would believe that people would share those videos, because Pulse is actually, like, the only time in recent years that I remember seeing videos from a fucking mass shooting. Like, on loop, people sharing videos from the Pulse shooting. But I have never seen any other videos from any other, like, school shootings or from theaters or whatever. So it's like, why is Black and brown death and, like, trauma okay to be shared with and like, just by allies, right? Quote unquote allies that are like, this is how I'm going to contribute to your cause or to your whatever you want to call it. Like, I'm raising awareness for you, and I want all of my racist friends to see this, essentially, is what you're saying to me. And it's, like, fucked up. And again, it's, like, people that really think they're allies and think that they're doing something by sharing these photos or videos.
Yeah, that's my thing, is if you need to see graphic violence in order to feel something, then you're kind of a lost cause. And I guess that's why people don't like certain folks like Sean King, who like they just traffic in like Black Death and violence against people of color. It's like white people because that's who Sean King's audience mm-hmm. is, right? White people, like, they know what's happening, and you and everybody else like trafficking in pain and like, you know, retweeting and sharing all these images, like, it's not gonna, that is not the impactful part, because that's not, people know that's happening and they don't want to do shit. Like, having conversations with folks, sitting down and really, you know, challenging your inner circles, like, that's the type of shit that changes. So, like, for example, instead of sharing this image, you can be like, look, you can talk to the people around you and be like, hey, this is what happened, like, this is why we need to, like, and detention centers and really be more vocal about like being anti-ICE and all this shit, and why we should open up our asylum process and really take it upon yourself to be galvanized to educate and to act, instead of pretending that you sharing an image of a brutalized body of a person of color, instead of pretending that that is activism.
Yes, exactly. So it's like allyship is just like this meaningless word now, because people think you just announce it and put it on your fucking Twitter bio and that's it. Like, your work here is done. Like, I shared this photo, I put this pin on that says ally, I did like the very minimal thing, and like, that's it.
I'm reminded of like recently I was asked, like, what do you suggest people do when they're like starting their, like, you know, their awakening, their journey, as folks who want to engage liberatory work. And I was like, sometimes the best thing you can do is show up to a room or online and just listen and just be quiet. And that's basically what I did when I was organizing with different movements for Black Lives. I would know that my role was to show up and listen and do as I was told, essentially, right? Because these are not issues, certain issues are not issues that impact me. Right, so if I'm to be an ally, then I'm supposed to, my role then is to amplify the voices of folks affected by specific issues and put my body on the line when necessary, right? Or put my body to use in a way that is beneficial to the folks that I'm allies for. Otherwise, it's just showmanship. Otherwise, the allyship does not become about you trying to change the conditions and to improve the conditions for the people that are marginalized. It's about you looking like a good person.
Yeah, so that's definitely, like, I think the number one thing that, or maybe not the number one thing, but when we talk about, like, allies and stuff, it's, like, always keep in mind that sometimes you don't got to do anything. Sometimes, like Ruben just said, you just got to listen. And, like, actually listen, not just, like, oh, you know, I'm here in this space, but being here is enough, I'm going to tweet that I'm here. No, it's like actually listening. And if you don't understand something, like going and trying to figure it out by yourself before you like go into like marginalized people's like post and like text or messaging them, like, can you explain this for me? And can you, like, because again, if you were actually follow people, like by just reading their posts, like you would know and you would like understand, or you would seek like podcasts that you can listen to or like videos. Like there's so much like information out there for people to be like, I don't get this. Can you unpack this for me? And it's like something that I was like trying to deal with myself recently that I had posted about was also how to not center yourself as a quote unquote ally. I don't call myself an ally, but as someone, like, for example, when I went to the action that was here, when we went to the detention centers, it was like just amazing, brilliant, like trans folks, organizers that put it together, that were the ones who led the march, were the ones who like spoke at the march. And I thought like, it was really like empowering. And I felt weird saying that, cause I'm like, okay, I'm not trans. And even when, you know, just kind of like seeing like how not to center my own feelings. Right. Because even not just with like trans issues, but for example, like the detention centers, especially with children, like that shit always fucks me up. And it like makes me want to just like remove myself from anything, like deactivate Chicanismo, or like just kind of not having to read about it, because it really just like it's heavy for me, you know, and it's hard to say, or I don't know, like to say for me, because I'm not being affected by this at all, or my child is not being affected by this, right? And so it's like accepting that, yes, I can be sad, or yes, I can feel sadness or anger or whatever I feel about the situation, but not centering that, but not talking about, I feel so sad that this is happening, and I feel, you know, whatever, and I'm so sad. And I think some people don't realize that they're doing this, and I'm sure I've done this before, but it's kind of like being conscious of that too, of like, yes, it's fucked up, but again, who, like, you have more, I don't want to say maybe like power, like as someone who's not being affected by it, or someone that's not a part of that community, to like put your body on the line to like actually go out there and do something about it, right? Because it's like, yes, I'm sad, but also again, I'm not being directly affected by it. And so, be sad, be angry, be whatever you want to feel, but don't like make it about you, or don't center yourself, or don't like go online and say like, oh, I'm feeling all of these things, where it's like, what are you doing for those communities, versus like, what are you, you know, just like centering your feelings, which again, it's okay to have those feelings. It's like totally normal. Like, this shit's fucked up, but it's also like not really about me. So it's like, how can I turn that sadness or anger or energy or whatever I'm feeling into like actual action to make a difference, right? Because it's like, oh, I'm sad, or I'm hurt, or I'm outraged by this, and again, I'm just going to post this picture, or I'm just going to do this minimal thing and then cry about it and say I was crying online. It's like, no, if you have money, like post someone's bail. I mean, not the whole thing, but you can don't, because that's like the number one thing, right? Like where people are like, I don't know what to do about this, you know, the detention centers. And it's like, well, aside from like showing up at direct actions, right? Donate. I know a lot of us don't have money, like I get that, but even if it's just like $5, or like sharing that so that other people on your friends list can see that, right? Because that's like the number one way right now, and it's fucked up that we have to, like, I've seen some of these bails, like they're a lot of fucking money, and it's like $50,000, like
$15,000
a piece, to a case. Like it's so fucked up to have to pay to get someone out of a fucking detention that should never be there to begin with, you know, like it's fucked up, but that's the only way right now that we can like help get some of these people out. And so I just like wish that we would like try to take a step back and actually think like, what can I do aside from this like very minimal thing, or like this fucked up thing, like what can I actually do, or what am I capable of doing, right? Because not all of us have, like, some of us can show up in different ways. But I don't know, it's just like, these are the conversations I feel like we should, and not to say that people don't have them, but instead of just kind of,
there should be more common, yes,
to have these conversations about quote unquote allies, because all of us, like I said, I check myself on that too, of centering myself, or how not to center myself, and when to say it's okay to say that I feel this, right? So it's not just like, we're not just talking about like the LGBTQ community. We're not just talking about like non-Black people. We're talking about like everybody, because all of us are, again, we're part of like marginalized communities that overlap, obviously. And so it's just like all of us checking ourselves all the time.
So yeah, that's a lot of what we had to say about allyship this Pride Month. And I hope that we take the lessons that we learned this year about corporatization and allyship and all that shit, and not make next year's Pride Month such a fucking shit show. Make sure that we're celebrating Pride year round by like helping folks out. I think one of the things that I easily committed to, I was like, okay, so I have like an extra $5, like I could go get a drink, or I can like deposit it into this person's Venmo, like that needs money. Like, it's not that difficult. Like, any little helps folks. There was back in the day when I was like hella struggling, and all my other friends were struggling. We would just pass the same $5 yeah, back and forth sometimes.
I do like, that on Venmo.
Sometimes that's all you fucking need to get a Taco Bell taco. Yeah, like I think folks expect like these grand gestures, but it's like, no, it's the little things that keep us alive every single fucking day that matter the most. So with that said, we're going to end this episode with an iconic Latinx Pride Month song, and we're going to play Alaska and Dinarama's A Quien Le Importa. You might have heard Thalia's cover, but fuck Thalia. We're gonna play the original version. Yeah, Team Mariah, Team Paulina, Team everybody was not Thalia.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. Follow us at Bitter Brown Femmes everywhere. Make sure to rate us on iTunes, bitches. We need more good ratings so that other people can find us. And yeah, once the fall hits, or if you're working in a center right now in the summer and you want to book us to speak at your school, reach out to us at bookings@bitterbrownfemmespodcast.com or by visiting bitterbrownfemmespodcast.com/bookings.
Yes, so thank you so much for listening. Episode was kind of, I don't know, was it heavy, but I mean, I think what's going on right now is heavy, like it always usually is. But yeah, we just wanted to end on we didn't want to drag out like this whole thing. We just want to end it on a happy note, because even though we just like dragged Pride and everyone in it and rainbow capitalism and allies and ourselves kind of too, we're still very happy to be queer. Contrary to all that, we're still very, you know, happy to be who we are. Love yourselves. Love always wins. That was my, sorry, I was trying to, yes,
that was your one pride.
Our sister. What's her name? I don't even know her name. Marianne Williamson. Yes. Okay. Oh. Anyway. We will see you soon, I swear.
All right, y'all. Take care. Bye.
Bye.